Now back to the bottom line on News Radio 610, KONA. Presented by McCary Meats in Basin City. It's your voice, your show. Call the LegendsCasino.com hotline, 509-547-1610.
Back at the bottom line, News Radio 610, KONA, and our candidate forum focusing on the U.S. U.S. Congressional District, the 4th District, with incumbent Congressman Dan Newhouse, his challenger. Ms. Christine Brown joining us in the studio. Again, we appreciate the time both of you have given us today. We appreciate it very much. Ed, let's get back into the questions.
All right. We mentioned that there's a two-part question when we're talking about the immigration issue in this country. The second part, if you're going to talk about the migrant workers, you're also going to have to talk about border security. So, Congressman, we'll start with you. Your thought on border security, do you believe that we need a strengthened border, or do you believe an open border solution is a better way to go?
So recently, just this summer, I took it upon myself to go to McAllen, Texas, because I wanted to see firsthand exactly, you know, you hear a lot of reports, what's happening down there, a lot of different opinions and ideas. So I went down there. It's a warm place in the summer, let me tell you. But I came away from there with a couple of thoughts, and primarily in answer to your question, absolutely, our Border Patrol needs help. We're asking them to do a very difficult job. They're doing as well as they can with the resources they have, but they need help. They need help in a lot of different ways. But I think it's up to us as Congress to be able to provide them the tools they need to perform this difficult task that we've asked them to do. And increased border security, it doesn't just happen. And you have to have technology. You have to, in some cases, you actually have to have a physical structure, a barrier to keep people coming in the proper places, which is our crossings, our border crossings. So absolutely. I think, one of the biggest responsibilities of Congress is to protect the homeland. And in this dangerous world we live in today, we have to know who's coming and going through our ports, over our borders, through our airports, every entry possible. I've also been to the Canadian border as well. You don't hear a lot about that, but they are struggling there as well, keeping human traffickers, drug traffickers, people that we don't want coming into this country, and they need resources up there on the northern part of our border too. So I know it's a lot of money that we're talking about, but it's an important job to keep the homeland safe, and it's something that we're very committed to doing.
Okay, Ms. Brown.
I don't believe in open borders at all, first off. I believe that we have to have borders on our country, also that we have to have border security. I am not in favor of the wall at all. To me, $25 billion is a waste of money on a wall when that money could be so much better spent on infrastructure across our country that is crumbling right now. So utilizing a dollar amount like that for infrastructure seems like a much smarter approach. We have fewer crossings today than we have in a long period of time, and that has resulted, and we know that because we have fewer workers who are showing up here to go to work. That's what growers tell us. So we have fewer crossings. I agree that technology is the key to the future of how to secure borders and that wall is not. But right now we have a situation with countries, particularly from Central America and Mexico, of people coming forward through this caravan process that is growing every day. And yes, it is a concern to the United States. But to me, we have to look at what is the root cause of why people are coming here and attempt to work towards affecting that root cause instead of just building a wall. People are coming here because their lives are in danger in their country. They're literally being threatened with death. They would rather walk thousands of miles and be in a position to face death on the walk up here to provide a different life for their children. We have to do something to affect what is happening in those countries. Guatemala, El Salvador, we have to do that. And we're not doing anything about that. So people also come here for jobs. There's no doubt about that. We have to eliminate that jobs are available on an open scale, which they are right now. And to me, that is E-Verify, but not until we provide a status of documentation and path to citizenship to people who are already here and contributing, because we need those folks in our society.
Okay, our next question, and we begin with Ms. Brown. Depending on what part of the country you live in, you either loved or hated last year's tax cuts. One of the questions that has surrounded the passage of the cuts is that the individual cuts were temporary, but the business cuts were permanent. Are you in favor or against making the individual tax cuts permanent for the average American and small business owner?
Making them permanent. Well, obviously, they should be permanent. If we are making the cuts permanent for large-scale corporate structure, then absolutely they should be permanent for regular Americans. But as far as I look at the tax structure that was just passed last year, I would reverse it, actually. I would reverse the tax cuts that were provided to already rich Americans and large corporations, because essentially what it's done is added $1.5 trillion to our growing debt that is already at $21 trillion. We have got no plan of action to reduce that debt. Why did a Republican-led Congress agree to that without any plan to reduce the deficit? I felt that that was truly irresponsible. So to me, that is the next step. We've got to come up with a plan to reduce the deficit over like a 20-year period. It's not going to happen tomorrow. This has taken us multiple years to accumulate, but we have got to have a plan to reduce it. And my gosh, we can't just keep adding to it. It was supposed to create this environment where it would be trickle-down economics, where big corporations would go out and expand their businesses, start new businesses. People would have access to new jobs. That is a false promise. Trickle-down economics has never, ever worked. And we keep laying it on folks as if it's a magic pill. It is not.
Congressman?
So I actually voted to make the tax cuts for individuals permanent. I think we should do that. I think it's absolutely the right thing, and people expect us to do that. And so I have voted to make that happen. And so we're looking to pass that in the Senate as well. And let me just say on a couple of things about tax reform. I think it's pretty significant. This is the first time since the 80s that we've passed real tax reform in the United States. And I think it's a great thing for people to be able to keep more of their hard-earned money and not have to send it to the government. And we did that in several ways. We doubled the standard deduction. And it sounds like a simple thing. 75% of people in the 4th District use the standard deduction. We just protected twice as much money from taxes for people because of doing that. We also doubled the child tax credit. And that's a big deal, too. That'll save folks in my district an awful lot of money. You know, we're seeing a lot of growth as a result of the tax reform, that businesses are being able to grow and expand. They're looking for new employees. We see that up and down the I-82 corridor. It's very, very evident that people are feeling more confident in the future. Consumers are spending more. And you know what? One of the things I said earlier, people are looking for more people to employ. We have the lowest unemployment rates in almost 50 years. So tax reform is working. I tell people, give growth a chance. Do we need to reduce federal spending? Absolutely. But I think we need to grow the economy as well and allow Americans to make decisions with what they want to do with their money and not the government.
Do we have any opportunity to interact on this? Because we didn't even get to talk about Social Security and Medicare cuts that will come as a result of the tax breaks to business.
That's a conjecture that's being made out there that there's no basis for.
Absolutely. So, Mitch McConnell, words have come out of his mouth.
This is a forum. It's not a debate. We set it up this way for a reason.
Okay.
If we do have a question coming on that, we'll present that question in this regard.
Let's go on to the next question, and we'll start with you, Congressman.
Okay.
As both of you know, the geographic area of this district is quite large, because both of you have been out and about in it. How do you feel is the best way to balance the needs of both your urban and rural constituents, Congressman?
So how do we stay in touch with such a large district? How do you stay in touch with your constituents, balance the needs of rural and urban folks? Yeah, and that's a challenge because we go from Canada to Oregon, eight counties, seven counties and part of an eighth county. It's essentially a third of the state. So we're spread out. You know, we've got the urban areas of the Tri-Cities and Yakima. That's our two largest population centers. So you've got to be creative. You've got to be able to use your imagination on how you can best stay in touch with people. So we've got a lot of tools at our disposal, whether it's we do a lot of telephone town halls. I love to do those. We can get thousands of people on a telephone line at one time. It's a pretty efficient way of conducting town halls. We use a lot of social media. We use a lot of electronic email. We stay in touch electronically with a lot of people. And I get out and about as much as I possibly can. There's hardly, when I'm home, which is very often during the session, I'm running from one end of the district to another, meeting with groups of people or individuals, always trying to do my best to stay in touch with people. And a big part of this is having staff to help me. I've got an office in Richland. I've got an office in Yakima. I've got an office up in the Okanagan. And on top of that, where people can go and visit, we also take advantage of having those staff members go to other communities in the district so that they're there on a monthly basis and be available for people to ask questions or go in for assistance on whatever it might be that they need help with from the federal government. So there's multi areas, avenues that one can use, that we use or employ to stay in touch with people. But it's not easy. It's not easy to be in such a large, diverse, geographically huge district. But we do the best we can, and I think we've done pretty well. We really have. We've been able to stay in touch with our constituents and stay I stay informed on what's important to them. So even though it's tough, we're able to do it.
Okay, Ms. Brown?
Well, a lot of people in the 4th Congressional District do not feel that they are heard. I mentioned that from the get-go. People repeatedly ask me why Congressman Newhouse does not hold town halls. I can't answer for him. So people want a public opportunity to meet in a public setting with the person that represents them in Washington, D.C. And they have been very disappointed in both rural areas and larger communities. Yakima and Tri-Cities are very, very disappointed that they've never had an opportunity for a town hall. Public hearings on very specific issues, I think, are really important. Bringing together the specific stakeholders to hear what they have to say. One of those issues is health care. We haven't had this opportunity for the whole gambit of people that are involved in health care, whether it be mental health providers, doctors, nurses, rural hospitals, other hospitals, individual people to come before their congressman or congressperson and relay the stories of what is happening to them. So as far as I'm concerned, the openness of public town halls is something that is definitely missing in this region.
Okay. We're going to take our time out. One more segment to go. We still have more questions in our remaining time with both of our candidates.
Absolutely. Our candidate forum featuring U.S. Congressional District 4, Congressman Dan Newhouse, his opponent Ms. Christine Brown, back with final questions and closing statements after this.
Can't get in by phone? Give us your bottom line through email. Send your thoughts from the bottom lines page at 610kona.com. Back to the bottom line. Presented by McCary Meats in Basin City on News Radio 610KONA.
Bottom line, News Radio 610KONA. Final few minutes in our candidate forum on the U.S. Congressional District Number 4. Joining us in studio, incumbent Dan Newhouse, his challenger, Ms. Christine Brown. Again, we appreciate the time both of you today have provided for us. Hopefully we'll be able to get two in, but we will certainly try to get at least one question and closing statements from both of you here. The individual mandate required under the Affordable Care Act goes by the wayside in January. People will no longer be required to purchase health care as a result. How would you propose to address the never-ending battle over health care, and what would your ideal health care system look like? Ms. Brown, we'll start with you.
Wow, I've got such a short period of time, so I'm going to talk really fast. But I am an advocate of health care for all. So that means that instead of sectionalizing who gets it in our culture and who doesn't, everybody gets it across the board. You put that idea on the table and you figure out how to do it, because 32 other high-income democracies have figured it out, I feel we are smart and we can figure it out too. It's very similar to the Medicare system. That's how I explain it. So that way people can understand what I'm talking about. Single payer, meaning the government then provides that role of the insurance company in terms of paying people and setting up the standards. So that is how I see healthcare. I'm concerned that healthcare as a discussion point in Congress up to this point has been nothing but how can we sabotage our current system and not solve it. It's very, very disappointing. Healthcare is what people talk to me most about when I am out going door to door or talking to groups of people. They want it solved. They don't want it sabotaged. People don't want to have to worry about not having healthcare. Let's get it solved.
And what would your ideal system look like?
My ideal system would be a similar system to Medicare. So I know that that is a discussion point with, for example, Bernie Sanders has brought up Medicare for All. I'm not totally all in on that, but I think it's something to consider. So everyone in our country is covered in with health insurance, and people still pay in. Because you know what? There's no free lunch. Of course, people have to pay in.
Congressman?
So healthcare absolutely is important to Americans, and we need to have a system where people can afford not only the insurance coverage, but the healthcare services that they get. So what would be my perfect healthcare plan? It has to include a couple of different things, and we've worked towards this. And you mentioned, before I go there, you mentioned the mandate, the individual mandate. Did you know that in our district, I think 90% of the people that paid that penalty earned less than $70,000 a year. So they couldn't afford a plan, and they had to pay the penalty because they couldn't make that choice. And so I think it was a good thing to take away, give people the opportunity to make those decisions on their own, what they want to buy. I think in strengthening health savings accounts is a tremendous thing, that people can utilize the money that they save and put it where they want health coverage. I think that that's tremendous. So we also need to include allowing groups of employers to be able to buy insurance, not just in one state, but across the country, to be able to drive down the cost of insurance coverage. I think that that's tremendously important. There's another thing that I think is really, really appealing. It's called direct primary care. There's several clinics in our own district that are utilizing this, where they don't even use insurance companies. That you pay a nominal fee every month and go in as often as you want or as little as you want. That really has a lot of appeal to me personally. I think a lot of people are finding that kind of insurance program, self-insurance essentially, really appealing. And then you can buy a catastrophic plan on top of that. So I think those are the kind of things that you have to have. You shouldn't have a system that the government tells you what you need to buy. Medicare for All, that's projected to cost, I think, over the next 10 years, almost $32 trillion. And it would jeopardize the current Medicare system that we have in place today. So I'm very nervous about going that direction. I think giving people choice, giving them the opportunity to buy the kind of coverage that they need, is that's the direction that we need to go.
Okay. Time for closing statements from both of our candidates. Congressman? Your statement, please.
Well, thank you very much for having this opportunity for us to meet together, and thank your listeners for listening to us. It's been an honor to serve the people of the 4th District as their representative in Washington, D.C. And like I said, there's tremendous amounts of work yet to do, a lot of challenges that we face in this country, and I will continue to work as hard as I possibly can for the people that I represent in Washington, D.C. You know, the issues that we face, they're my issues too. I was born and raised in Central Washington. This is where my business is. This is where I've raised my family. And I intend to stay here. This is my home. And I want this to be as good a place as we possibly can make it. And so whether you're talking about immigration, which we've talked a lot about, or trade, we talked a little about, or health care, all of those kinds of things, these are issues that I'm going to have to live with too. And you can believe that I'm going to work as hard as I can to make sure that we find the right solutions in a bipartisan manner. Because I think that that's the best, to find those things that make this country as good as it can be. I'm going to continue doing that. I want to hear from the people of the 4th District. I want to hear what they have to say. I need their input, and I ask for that, and I also ask for their vote so I can continue working on their behalf.
Ms. Brown, your closing statement.
Oh, thank you, Ed, and I really appreciate both of you. So thank you so much for allowing us to come in today, Rob, also. I want to get big money out of politics because I think that big money right now is controlling our country, our government, and it's why I have not taken any corporate PAC funds. My campaign has been solely supported by individuals, and I think that that is the right move for us to be making. I want to support all efforts to get big money out of decision making. Also, in terms of health care, I want to ensure that everyone has the option for health care in our country, and they don't have to worry about the fear of bankruptcy that a lot of people are fearful of right now. Immigration, I really am wanting to work towards a path to citizenship. We didn't even have a chance to talk about DACA. That's an issue that's been kicked around in Congress since the year 2001. That's ridiculous. These are fine people, and we need to add them to our roles as citizens, the DACA young people. And also, I think that at this stage of the game, we have got to protect Social Security and Medicare. It is what older people talk with me about as well. Besides health care, they're talking about Social Security and Medicare. They're scared to death that it's going to be cut by the Republican Congress.
Thank you both for your time this afternoon. That is our candidate forum on the U.S. congressional race for District 4. Representative Dan Newhouse and Ms. Christine Brown, again, we appreciate both of you taking the time today to speak to our listeners.